Hello and welcome to From Fear to Fire, secrets to overcome fear, embrace your gifts, and achieve success. This is the place where real people share real challenges, where you can find a common bond and uncommon wisdom through their journeys to help you move from fear to fire. I am Heather Hansen O'Neill, and I am your host. Today's quote of the day is, "It's not that we use technology, we live technology." And this is by film director Godfrey Reggio. Now, I have a really cool guest for you today. Can't wait to introduce him. His name is Jimmy Newson. As the marketing director of the New York Marketing Association, Jimmy is a multi-certified inbound marketing and sales consultant, as well as an author of several popular sales and marketing ebooks. He's worked with local and national brands, including People Magazine, Grammys, AT&T, Microsoft, AOL, you know, the small ones. And the list goes on. His purpose is to help business owners and entrepreneurs see the bigger picture and then attain that picture by developing a business growth mindset through embracing technology. Welcome, Jimmy. It's so nice to have you on here today.
Thank you for having me, Heather. It's an absolute pleasure, and I'm excited.
Awesome. I love an excited guest, and I'm sure that our listeners will be super excited to hear some of your content. You know, before I dive into what I would love to know about your experience and everything, just give us a little background on what got you to where you are here today.
Ooh, okay. So it's really... I think it's almost an accident where I'm at, even though as I get further in, it becomes more planned. I've always had the opportunity to be in places at the right time, but I guess that's just preparation and always being on, you know. So I'm always on. That's a good thing, but sometimes it can be a bad thing because you're never off. but you know, I just always look for the opportunity. I'm always looking for where can I go and what can I do next to help elevate myself. So whether it's in high school, and I never really followed the pack, and I think that's been a really big part of it. So when I think back from elementary, middle school, high school, I've always evaluated the situation first, then took the step. And I think that develops what's more of a strategy structure versus, you know, jump and figure it out, which is your typical entrepreneur. I'm a little bit of a different type of entrepreneur.
I'm the one that the other one who jumps. This is great. I mean, I know you've been an entrepreneur for a while, but what was your first entrepreneurial experience? Like how'd you dive in? Obviously, after some planning.
So what I noticed, you know, there was, you know, we got bussed. I grew up in Indianapolis. And so we were bussed out of our neighborhood into other schools. They were doing the whole mix up and all that stuff. And so every day I'd have to take this bus to school. And we dropped us off at a candy store that was across the street. And then we had to walk to the school. And what I noticed was by second period, everybody was starving, you know, and I included myself. And so I don't know why I did this. So I went in the store one day and I bought like a whole box of like Blow Pops. And so second period, and I'm the only one doing it. So second period, I got this backpack and I'm like a quarter. And so after maybe about a couple of weeks, everybody knew, you got to go find Jimmy Newson, you know, because it was candy, but to us, it was food. So I sold out the box. So I literally had to start buying more stuff. And everything was great until, of course, the competition got a hold of what I was doing and ruined it for everybody. But that was kind of my first thing, because I saw a need and I sought out a solution. And I, for the first time in my life, I was actually making some money. You know, so it was, and I didn't really know it was entrepreneurship then. We just was like, okay, we're making some money. And, you know, if I knew it, I would have probably treated it a little differently.
Yeah, but you know what? How awesome. I absolutely love that story. I just envisioned you, little Jimmy. making the money until the competition comes along. It's awesome. It's an absolutely awesome story. You know, I have a weird question. Ever since I met you, I had to ask you this question. Now, I saw you speaking, and you appear to be an extrovert. But then during the presentation, you told us that you were an introvert. And I find this all fascinating. So can you tell us a little bit about that? Are you really an introvert? And when did you realize it? And how does it affect you now and then?
Well, back then, it controlled most of my life as a youth, because I didn't have this other side of me yet. I didn't develop that till much later, so I always took a back seat to everything. And I always, even when it came to making friends, we moved around a lot when we were kids. So I have an older sister and younger brother, and literally they would go with, every time we moved, they would go make the friends, make all the mistakes I would observe. And then I would determine out of everybody they met who I liked enough to actually want to connect with.
So you were planning even in your friend groups.
Yeah, I was, because I didn't like to be out there, and I didn't like loud people, uh-oh, which is extroverts. So I gravitated.
I'll try to tone it down, Jimmy.
You don't have to. I'm a totally different person now.
Okay.
When I was growing up, I said, you know what? I really want to figure out how to be more cool. You know, I was very smart. At least that's what I was told. You know, so I said, all right, some of my friends, you know, I love them to death, but they're kind of knuckleheads. And I said, if these guys can be cool, I can be cool. And I said, if I have to be cool, I have to make some adjustments. I have to make some changes. And as I started doing that, I started to find things that I liked. And the more I found things I liked, the more I seemed like an extrovert, because when I got deep into it, I could talk a storm up, you know. But if it wasn't related to any of those things, I'd go back to just being very quiet, but to myself, and not really trying to reach out to people like normal. So that was the balance. And as I got deeper into it, I have an entertainment background now. I'm on stage, I'm talking to people, I'm cracking jokes, but it's only when I'm in character. If I'm not in character, I'm going to be very quiet. I'm going to be chill. I'm going to be relaxed. And so I still possess both. And there is a word for that. And actually, a friend Helena turned me onto that, and it's called ambivert. So it's kind of like a blend of the two. You actually possess both an extrovert and an introvert trait. So that's as much as I know about it. If anybody wants to look it up, you can look it up, Google it.
I'm definitely going to look it up, because I find it really interesting. I am 100% a natural extrovert. And so in what's happening in the world today is, you know, great for introverts because, you know, it's natural for you to want to and get energy from drawing in and not being around so many people. But I'm like a caged animal, right? However, I have been enjoying for the first time, you know, this element of just sitting with the peace and being quiet, you know. And so I think it helped that over the last couple of years, I had been doing more meditation and yoga, because I don't know if prior to learning about meditation, I would have been able to not be this crazy tiger trying to get out of the cage. So sure. I'm going to look up a little bit more about it, because I'm recognizing that we can change and we can grow that way when it comes to introvert, extrovert, or ambivert. Is that
ambivert,
what it is called?
Yes.
Ambivert. Mm-hmm. All right. I'm going to check that out. So what are some other challenges that you faced, and how did they influence you, and what did you learn?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest ones was, you know, we grew up very poor. You know, we didn't have a lot. I was a single mom, three siblings. And, you know, even as from a younger age, we just kind of really, my mother was working all the time. So each one of us really just had to kind of find our own way in a way. She was very supportive in there in most ways. But, you know, we still had to figure some things out. you know, even when it came to me trying to go into college, I had to try to figure that out. And I had a lot of support in school from counselors and teachers and whatnot, because like I said, I was pretty much pulled out of my friend groups when I was in school and put into like advanced classes. So that got me gave me an opportunity to learn some things that I would not have been able to learn if I weren't in those classes. So it really opened up those doors. Do me a favor. I'm sorry. Can you repeat the question again? Because I kind of got off track.
Oh, no, that's okay. I like where you were going with it, because it was turning the challenge. So my question originally was, what are some of the challenges that you faced? How did it influence your decision making and, you know, what you learned? But I like that you're kind of putting that positive twist on it, because that's something that I think is really important, is to be able to see that the good in every situation, even when it's the challenges. So,
sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I think the poor part was key and vital, because of that, I chose not to do certain things or put myself in certain lights where it would be obvious. Mm-hmm. So I had to be very specific about what I decided to do and how I went about doing it. And, you know, so people, even when I was growing up in high school, people knew my name, but they didn't know my face.
Okay, that's interesting.
Okay, because yeah. I would just show up in the right places, do it, but I didn't hang out. I didn't hang, you know, so when everybody else had, you know, they'd hang, I'd be out, and they just know my name. They'd be like, oh, well, Jimmy News is this, Jimmy News is that. I was actually class president of my high school.
Wow.
For my senior year, but I beat her on strategy. Because, you know, at the end of the day, you look at these things and, you know, people can let these things affect you, whether it's being poor, whether it's not having certain resources or not being this and that. But you always have some advantages. So you have to figure out what are those advantages. So let's take this situation in particular. So my friend was like, you have to run for president. I'm like, no, because I'm an introvert. Remember, I'm like, that's the last thing on the planet I want to do. Is run for class president. Why would I want to do that? He puts my name in there without telling me. Oh. So next thing you know, it's down to me and this girl. She's very, very loud. and this and that. So I said, okay. And so I actually had went to her and was going to tell her, listen, I don't want it. So you're going to have it. So I'm just letting you know in advance. But before I could get my whole thing out to her, she starts going at me. I'm going to kick your butt. I'm going to blah, blah,
no.
And I sat back and I was like, wait a minute. why are you tripping? And I said, okay, cool. So I went back. I went to my friend. I said, okay, we're going to win this. Because it kind of made me mad. Yeah. And he goes, so what are you going to do? I go, all right, people know my name, but they don't really know my face. So they don't really, I never really hung out. So they don't not like me, but they don't hate me.
Yeah,
I go,
yeah.
She is very popular, but popularity also has enemies. So I said, so that's number one. Anybody that doesn't like her will immediately vote for me. And then I said, anybody else who's on the fence could possibly vote for me. And then anybody that likes her will vote for her. I said, so that's 2 out of 3. I said, so next thing we're going to do is we're going to thank everybody in advance for even allowing me to be considered. So I hand wrote notes to every single person in the senior class, thanking them for even considering me. Passed them out.
Awesome.
Next thing you know, who wins? I won.
See, it's that strategy, Jimmy. It's
all about strategy,
out, right? Yeah. When
you think it through, and like I said, so you can still be moving forward entrepreneurial. Like I come up with ideas all day, but until I put a strategy to it, it's still just an idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes so much sense. And for our entrepreneurs out there who have 62 great ideas on hold, look at the ones that you can actually put a strategy behind and start with those, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Love that. Okay, now the show is called From Fear to Fire. So I've got to mm-hmm. ask,
yep.
Do you have any fears? If so, what do you do to make your way through them?
Yeah, I was asked this question actually by my coach, and it was a pretty hard one to come across now compared to probably back then. So because now I don't even look at fear anymore. I just look at challenges and how do I figure out a way around them if it's worth it. you know, fears before, and I guess they're still now, is really, am I gonna become the person I want to be? You know, am I pointed in the right direction? As we get older, I'm always thinking about, you know, I mean, I'll tell you, I just turned 50 this last year. So
Happy
birthday. Thanks. So it's quite a while ago. But at the end of the day, I guess my biggest fear is just making sure that I'm leveraging the time that I have correctly. You know, I've always been more work than personal. So I'm actually now trying to get more personal, add more personal to my life, because I've always worked so much intensely. So the fear of looking back and going, all I did was work. Where's that personal side? Well, it never developed. You know, so I'm taking more time now and redeveloping myself and rethinking about things and going, make time to do other things than work, you know, so you don't regret not have done that. So I hope that kind of answered the question.
Oh, it totally does. I think that the biggest thing with regret, like, that's a great exercise, what you did, where you said, like, at the end of your life, looking back, I don't want to have the regret of not having a full, vibrant personal life, right? Or whatever it is. But when anyone out there can do that exercise and look at, you know, when they get to be 130, we're going to be optimistic here, and they look back at their life, what would be the thing that they would regret? And then start now and work toward it, right? So that you don't have that. Regret is not something anybody wants to feel. It does not feel good. Have you ever, what would you consider, I guess, the lowest time in your life?
Excuse me. I would say that probably one of the lowest, because I've had a few, was, well, I from Indiana, around, I think, maybe 20, 21, I left and went to Florida, went to school there. And then which was probably around 91. And then in 96, I got the opportunity to come to New York. And I was here for 2 years, and then I ended up going back to Florida in 98. And then I hated it. You know, I hate to use that word, but I hated it. And so I came back. But when I came back, I really didn't have a lot developed or built. I just had an idea. I'm like, I got to go back to New York. New York is where it's at. There's where the energy is. So when I came back, I literally lived in my car for almost a month, because I had to figure out what I wanted to do. I didn't know what friends I wanted to, because I'm always cautious of other people's time, you know. So this is that strategy person thinking. So I'm going, who do I need to reach out to? But how do I reach out to them and add value to them as I need their help? Mm-hmm. You know, so living in my car and thinking about it, to me, I'm so not bothered by things like that, in a way that I didn't look at it as bad. It just sucked. But I was just like, you know, I was just like, it is what it is. I need to now figure out how to move forward. So I'm very good at just kind of going, yeah, it's a very bad situation, but I can't let that bother me right now. Let me just figure out what to do. I'll make my way around this. There's always an opportunity to get out of something. This is just another one of those situations. So, you know, when I think about it, I look back at it, I'm kind of sad to think about it, but okay. I think it still made me a better person. Like I said, I could lose everything tomorrow and I'm fine, because I know I still can always think my way through to the next step.
Yeah. And, you know, that ability to be able to continue taking actions and not get stuck or mired in the situation, you know, acceptance of what is enables you to move forward and make changes that you need, right? But so many people you find get stuck in wishing things were different. And then they can't move forward. So it's great that that came naturally to you, so that you were able to take the actions that you needed to take to make the changes. What did you want to be when you grew up? Like, when you what was like your big dream?
Well, it was funny. When I was a kid, I'm like, I want to be a teacher. I want to teach people, you know. And when you say I want to be a teacher, you think traditional teacher, school, this and that. And then as I started to grow up, this is probably when I was in my, you know, before I was 10 years old, I wanted to be a teacher. And then when you get older, you're like, okay, I want to do something else. I want to own a business or make a ton of money and do this and that. So I kind of went towards the business. I said, all right, I know how to, you know, and at the time it was the music business, but still, I mean, at the age of, I think 17, like my last 2 years, I would carry a briefcase to school, but there was nothing in it. but I just needed that briefcase.
It's a strategy.
It's a strategy. I just said, I'm carrying a briefcase. It'd be like three pieces of paper in it, but I didn't care. And, oh crap.
We're talking about you wanting to be a teacher.
Yeah.
That was kind of like a
wake up call, because when I went into the music business and the business in general, and then I made the transition over into marketing and business, I still found myself doing programs and events and stuff that taught people. And so it really broadened the meaning of the word teacher. You can be a woodshop worker. You could be, you know, a dancer. You can be, if you're still transferring what you learned to other people, you are technically a teacher, and with that trait. And so I realize now that I've still become what I wanted to be. I'm a teacher.
Yeah, you did. Definitely. That's what you do all the time.
Mm-hmm. And so I absolutely love it.
And you're good at it. Now, in your bio, it says that your purpose is to mm-hmm. help entrepreneurs, business owners develop a business growth mindset. Mm-hmm. So what does that look like to you, and how do you help them?
Sure. Yeah, like I said, I over the last probably 5 or 10 years, I've been heavy in the marketing side. But even when you're working with people in a marketing standpoint, if their business is not set up properly, it doesn't matter how good the marketing is. You know, if they don't have good financial structure, they don't have a good relationship with their employees and any type of business strategy in general, anything I can do for them may move the needle a little bit, but it's not moving it enough where it makes a difference, or it just eventually falls flat. And which made me start to step back, because when I would work with people, they would be like, you're not really a marketer. And I was calling myself a marketer. And they're like, because you're helping me figure this out, and you're helping me build this, and you're helping me strategize with this, and you're helping me think about how I got to deal with this problem with my employees. I go, yeah. And I go, but one thing that I did love about what I did was the more technology was involved in it, the easier it was for me and them to implement it. And it took less time, energy, and resources. And so I had to take a step back again and go, what do I really do? Do I help people with marketing, or do I help them with structure and strategy for their overall business? It's just so I go, so that's really what I do. I really look at everything and I talk about it from a marketing lens, because mm-hmm. the marketing lens is really what's going to help them move forward and make more sales, because marketing is tied to sales, but marketing has to be tied to the overall goals of the business. And if you don't know what the overall goals of the business, I can't make sure that what I'm doing for you is actually working.
Right. Right. And using the technology and helping people to embrace the technology enhances their system. So it becomes replicatable and more strategic as well, like what you have been doing your whole life and planning things out. This helps you to help those business owners be able to think through the steps and be able to use technology to make it happen, right?
Yes, definitely. And, you know, they say with great power comes great responsibility. Yes. So some people go, oh, technology is great. And other people say technology is bad. And I go, technology should be used when it should be used. And as long as you understand why you're using it, then it should help you.
Right. That makes a lot of sense. Now, I have a sneaking suspicion that this is about the time where my listeners are going, hey, this is kind of neat. How can I get a hold of Jimmy? So can you give them some information about where to find you and maybe some about the virtual summits that you have coming up, one of which I'm involved in?
and I'm very happy to have you. Yeah, definitely. The easiest way to reach me is through email, and it's jimmy@jimmynewson.com. So it's actually my name for the email address, jimmy@jimmynewson.com. I get back to everybody. You can find me on social media, so you can Google my name and I'll pop up. You know, I'm a digital marketer, so you best believe my digital footprint looks good.
Yes, you're definitely going to pop up.
Yeah. I do a lot of online events, a lot of online stuff. So I have two, I have a Lead Magnet Virtual Summit, which is all around lead generation. I did that first because, you know, when I talk to people, they're always talking about, I need more leads. When I ask them what their main problem is, I need more business. I need more business. I need more business. It's never enough. So for my first virtual summit is called the Lead Magnet Virtual Summit. So what I'm doing for your listeners is it's free to watch. You can watch, I think for 7 days it's free. So you can watch, we have about 30 speakers on there, and they're doing different variations of lead generation strategies, certain tools, demos, and things like that. We have a code for 50% if you want to buy the All Access Pass, which gives them lifetime access. It's Fear to Fire, no spaces. I'm sorry. Yep, Fear to Fire, no spaces. And then, unfortunately, because of what we're all going through now, I don't know when this airs, but, you know, we have, you know, the COVID-19. But regardless of the COVID-19, you know, some businesses are still doing very well while this is going on, and some are not. And I think the difference is having a structure and a strategy in place that allows them to pivot. Myself, you, we're both professional speakers. We're event producers, and we've lost all of that. Yeah. But I'm still bringing in new clients, and I'm still doing events because I was already set up to be online to handle this. So we developed something called Moving Forward Small Business, which you're taking a part of, where we're just kind of sharing some of these things that we're doing to really start to spur people, because there's a lot of stuff out there that you can find about crisis and loans and this and that. But we're talking more about teaching someone the fish versus giving them a fish so they can be better prepared if something like this or any type of thing like this ever happened again. You have to be better prepared so you can provide for yourself, for your family, for your employees, for your community. You know, so this is a free 100% free thing we're doing. It's called Moving Forward Small Business. So you can go to movingforwardsmallbusiness.com and they can find out everything about that. Start watching videos immediately. There's no email sign up. We just wanted to make it super easy for them to get access to this information and start figuring out which one of these strategies are best for them based on where they are in their business at that moment.
This is fantastic. And for those of you out there who are either driving or trying to write all this down furiously, don't worry. I'm going to put all of these links into the show notes, so you'll be able to go there and just link on it and get the information that you need. So don't even worry about that. This is great. I'm really excited about all the different things that you're doing to help business people. Can you share any final parting words of wisdom, that something that they can take away and use, or a concept that you just would really die in to share?
Oh, definitely, definitely. And this is something that I've been really focused on the last few years. And as an introvert, it goes against introvert in a way. And it's partnerships. Partnership relationships. These are probably some of the best opportunities, especially now. Start thinking about your business and start figuring out who can be a great strategic partner for you. Mm. Right now, I got a couple of strategic partnerships with some really big companies that I'm keeping my fingers crossed, but it's going well, that are starting to come through. And this is where you can start swimming upstream, because you can leverage your knowledge, your experience, and everything about what you do and who you help to go upstream and partner with someone who doesn't have that, either their ear to the ground, or that's just not that important to them because they're thinking about bigger things. And mm-hmm. you both end up benefiting from each other, you know. So partnerships right now, to me, are pretty much my main focus: media partners, sponsors, mm-hmm. Strategic partnerships, because two heads are better than one.
I think it's great. I mean, when you can bring and you can collaborate, create these partnerships, what comes out of it is exponentially greater than what either one of you could have accomplished on your own. I think it's a really great idea, concept, and something that it's great to leave the show on, because move forward, create some strategic partners, and expand your business, everybody. Jimmy, this has been such a pleasure. I appreciate so much you bringing your authentic self, your ideas, your story to our listeners today. Thank you.
It was absolutely my pleasure, Heather. Thank you for having me. And I thank you guys for bearing with me and listening to my story.
That's a great one. There's no bearing with you. Come on, Jimmy. Thanks again, everybody. Have a great day.